So, yes, this is going to be a very different talk from all of the other two we've just had, which, of course, one would expect. So the title I was given was, what is my relationship to meditation? And when I thought about, my relationship to meditation, I thought, a definition, what do I miss here? So I looked it up, and it's like the way in which two or more people or things are connected. And I suppose the synonym for the word relationship was also connection, association, link, and bond. And I really like the word bond, actually, because I do actually have a real bond in my meditation. So also it dawned on me when I was thinking about this talk, meditation and relationship. It just dawned on me that actually meditation is all about how I actually relate to myself. It's like a mirror. It's sort of a real reflection of how I am about myself. So it probably seems obvious to all of you, but it's just something I hadn't thought about in that way before. And this might not be clear to some or all of you what I mean by that, but perhaps by the end of this talk it might become a bit clearer what I mean. So it has been quite a fascinating process preparing for this talk, as I was trying to remember really when I first came to meditate, and as one would expect, there are things that are still very clear in my mind going back. And others that are really quite vague. So the whole spectrum of my memory, actually. At the time I started to meditate, I was living in Brighton, and I was a career lady that used to para dress. Mm-hmm. And I really loved and enjoyed that, actually. My interest in Buddhism and Triratna developed out of my strong relationship to meditation that I gained when I first came across the mindfulness of breathing and the metta bhavana. I really enjoyed meditation. I liked the structure, it seemed quite straightforward, relatively simple to follow, and actually quite easy to fit into my already busy schedule. I could fit in another 20-minute sit just before I went off and went for a swim and did yoga when I came back before I went to work at 8 o'clock. So it was quite easy to fit another 20 minutes into there. So that was, I enjoyed that, it was great. And it was also a path that I could follow. And I also had this idea I could get somewhere. I don't quite know where I was going to go, but I just thought, I can get some of this. And I also learned to love retreats because I thought they were just really very simple. I just needed to turn up. Everything was planned. You just did the work that was given to you, and you just went into the shrine room. They had a program. So they're all really very, positive sort of conditions. But I realised very quickly that actually it only works if you're actually in a relatively good sort of mental, state. Because if not, you actually end up taking the difficulty on the cushion. And of course that then became my working ground. And I found it really compelling because it really helped me understand what was going on for me at the time. And I could really then start to see what views I had about certain things, which were obviously mainly just to do with myself. So quite early on, I realized, I saw the power of the mind and how important it was to have good conditions. Retreat conditions and feeling relatively okay about myself for my meditations to be effective. So I've been meditating now for slightly over 30 years, and I certainly have felt all sorts of extremes about my meditation, such as boring, dry, uninteresting, positive, wonderful, exciting, and thinking that I was actually getting somewhere with this. Also, I've had a whole range of experience of emotions, from anger, hatred, doubt, indecision, forgiveness, shame, envy, confusion, and love, to name but a few. And all of the above I felt both in and outside of meditation. And there have been times too when I just couldn't meditate, which was when I was depressed many years ago. And this was a very difficult time for me because I felt that I'd actually lost something that was really dear to me. It was like losing a dear and a close friend. Because I really felt that meditation was a real anchor for me. It felt a really safe place for me to explore sort of my mental states and really come into relationship with myself. And in hindsight, it was an interesting time. I remember I just left my meditation space as it had been, with my shrine and cushions all set up. And I would just sometimes just sit and look at my shrine, and I would just feel this real deep sadness because I just couldn't meditate. So it was just really upsetting that I'd sort of felt I couldn't meditate. But somehow I just knew and trusted that things would change. So I had this sort of strong sense of things being impermanent. And then also learning that I just had to be patient and less critical of myself and understand that I was in a very dark place and that this could take quite some time before things would change again. So I believed they would. So I didn't give up hope. And I learned to be okay with how things were at that time, and this certainly strengthened my sense of faith in the Dharma. So generally I can say that I have had a regular meditation practice of a sort, and certainly the first 15 years of my practice I could say that I was a diligent practitioner. For me, which meant getting on the cushion no matter what. I didn't think about, do I want to, do I not want to? Just get on the cushion, follow the instructions. So I was very regimented. So what this meant was, in some instances, I would push myself, being quite hard on myself, judgmental, and assuming my meditation needed to be a certain way. At times, I did my meditation just by rote, and just went through the stages. And in those early days, there wasn't a lot of books that you could sort of, look up on and what do you do in meditation. And I think we're just so lucky nowadays. We've got so many books, apps, all of this stuff. There's so much available that you can refer to. And I think we're just incredibly lucky that, you've got so much available, which can also at times feel quite overwhelming, actually. And also I find it really fantastic that actually our meditation teachers are obviously gaining experience and they're sharing that experience, which is a real bonus, actually. And I've learned a lot from various various meditation teachers. So I have to say, it's not been an easy process, and it's not been uplifting all the time, far from it. From time to time, it has felt very difficult, painful, and there has been a sense of, well, what am I doing? Where's this going? And why am I doing this? But I've always had a strong belief in change and that I can change. So some 15 years ago, when I was still a Mitra, I was on a Tivatnaloka retreat preparing for ordination, and I just got really stuck. I just could not meditate. Every time I sat on the cushion, there was just no way. I just couldn't do anything. So I just started to get really frustrated with myself, and I thought, there's no point. So I just decided to not go to any of the meditations, and I just every time just took myself off into the hills and just thought, well, I've got to do something else. I just really need to do something differently here. I was sort of hoping for some sort of inspiration, which I don't quite know what I was hoping for. But anyway, I just thought, well, all I just need to do really is just come back to basics and just actually just be with what's going on in my body, just in my experience. So it was a really productive time, really, because it did force me to really look at what I was doing in my practice. And I just knew I had to do something differently. So quite intuitively, I started to stay with what was happening, or, you know, what my experience was in the body. I was a keen yoga practitioner, so I had a good body awareness. And it was only several years later, when our movement started to offer a pure awareness practice, that I realised that that was what I had been doing all those years ago. So it's actually been well over 15 years that I've been working in this way. And this practice is about staying open to Eric, to my experience, in a kindly, non-judgmental way. And for me, it has been about, well, being with difficult, painful experiences in my body, as it was clear that that was my working ground and what needed attention at the time. So at times, it's been highly unpleasant, but I couldn't see another way forward. I just knew I had to unravel these knots. It has meant not pushing anything away, staying as fully present as possible, but with immense kindness and warmth, and gradually over time, the knot would loosen and start to unravel, and I'd be faced with the pure, naked pain. Seeing into these deep samskaras has given me a real understanding as to why I would habitually do certain things. Also noticing that in addition to the physical pain, there would be thoughts like, why me? This isn't fair. I don't deserve it, etc., etc. So these thoughts were in fact adding to my pain and keeping me stuck in a loop. And if I dropped the thoughts, then there was just the physical pain, which amazed me how they were so closely linked. So I clearly saw the Buddha's teaching of the second arrow. The deeper samskara has been around rejection and feeling unloved by my mother. But every time I sat with a raw, naked pain of rejection, feeling it ever more deeply, something quite wonderful happened, which was that I understood in the depths of my being that this had nothing to do with me, but had to do with my mother's inability to love, which had in turn to do with her own conditioning and lack of love. The process went from seeing this to feeling a deep sadness around this rejection and lack of love. And once I'd experienced this fully, with no aversion or clinging, it transformed into a deep sense of love towards my mother and myself. Through this practice, I have been able to identify a lot of my childhood conditioning and become aware of the effect this has had on me and how I relate to others over my lifetime, which has been quite sobering. I've also become aware of experiences from my childhood that I didn't even know existed. Although these have been extremely painful, they have been another part of the process of unfolding. When a difficult experience has been fully experienced and witnessed, and even seen through, it can be fully integrated, which has meant that with this new awareness I've been able to change how I respond to situations, both to do with myself and others. I've been taking my practice out of the realm of the psychological and into the spiritual realm and seeing the effectiveness of my meditation practice and gaining confidence in that and myself. Once integration has taken place, then there is a period of realigning this new sense of self, which takes time and patience. I have seen quite clearly how much of my own dukkha I can create. In addition to my meditation, I've also strong mindfulness practice, which for me goes hand in hand with my meditation. So now I would say that my meditation is a more on the cushion and off the cushion experience, trying my best to stay mindful to what is happening in my body and mind, seeing where I cling to something I may like or pushing away something I don't want. Noticing it is just the ego stepping in and wanting to control whatever the situation is. Acknowledging that this is what the dualistic mind does. It's just the nature of mind. So I don't have to give myself a hard time anymore about whether it's working or not working and should it be working in this way or that way. But what I've also realised is that this is quite a messy process. It's not straightforward. It's not a linear process. More and more I am aware that when the ego is not involved, no clinging or aversion can take hold and I can rest in a very open, spacious, luminous, sky-like mind that has no boundaries and where receptivity, creativity and metta are present. This is the territory I can flip-flop between and is my main working ground these days. My inner landscape is very rich, enjoyable and fun-eating. I have an intimate relationship with my body and mind. As I mentioned at the beginning, my meditation acts like a mirror as to what is really going on. And I try and stay open to that, and when appropriate, reflecting on the lakshanas. I'd just like to close the circle, as it were, which means just bringing you back to what I said at the beginning of my talk about my relationship and how that reflects on myself. Because I think all those years ago, I'd see myself as quite controlling, critical and judging and lots of more other negative things. And now I see myself as much more open, relatively non-judging and much, much freer. So if, just to give you a sort of a metaphor, I'd see myself sometimes like a sort of hot air balloon. It would be like, I would be in the basket and there'd be these, and the basket was sort of held down, so I was sort of tethered. And up above was this lovely sort of canopy with lots of colours, and that was sort of the potential I could see. But what was happening, I really felt that I was really being tethered. I was really being held down. But once actually a lot of these samskaras had been integrated, all of those tethers just sort of fell away, and it was such a wonderful experience, actually. Yes, it just feels like there's more of me that is available. And again, I see this as an important point, which is that we have to be relatively integrated in order to really work on loosening our sense of self. Yes, and one more point I would like to make, and that is what for me has been really important is to be able to share my experience with somebody that really knows me. So having a friend that I can completely be open with about what's happening in my meditation, someone that's not, judging me, and just receives what's been happening for me. And that's really helped me immensely in my practice. So I suppose just coming back to what I said earlier about why I meditate, which is because it has given me the opportunity to resolve deep samskaras and to overcome dukkha, which I know I can, and this is my path. So as the Buddha said, with mindfulness, drive on. And just to bring it to an end, I just want to read something from Thich Nhat Hanh. A river of perceptions. Our thoughts and feelings are like a river. If we try to stop the flow of the river, we will meet the resistance of the water. It is best to flow with it, and then we may be able to guide it in the ways we want it to go. We must not attempt to halt it. Keep in mind that the river must flow and that we are going to follow it. We must be aware of all the thoughts, feelings, and sensations that arise in us, of their birth, duration, and disappearance. Do you see? Now the resistance begins to disappear. The river of perception is still flowing, but no longer in darkness. It is now flowing in the sunlight of awareness. To keep this sun always shining inside of us, illuminating each rivulet, each pebble, each bend in the river, is the practice of meditation.